The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Yovan, boo-ha! Boo-ha!
Yo, yo! I'm Yovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. On today's show, I am thrilled to be joined by Istok Franco of Digging Basketball on Substack. I highly recommend you subscribe. And Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation, Lakers Collective, Basketball Bulletin, Front Office Show. Am I missing anything, Trevor?
Probably, but at this point, I've forgotten.
Probably, myself, but so. Good to see you. I saw you yesterday. I'm going to see you tomorrow. But on today's show, we're going to be breaking down the Lakers starting lineup, the rotation, and the minutes. And this is a difficult exercise. I think already starting with the starters, we have probably four guys as consensus starters right now, but we're going to get into the four candidates for the fifth starter spot. Then we will break down the rotation, who are the guys filling out up to spots 10, maybe even 11. And then how do JJ Redick and the coaching staff divvy up the minutes? I want to start with the starters though. So the fifth starter conversation has been a big topic over the last few weeks. The Lakers have been in pursuit of Jonathan Kuminga. PJ Washington is another guy who has been out there. I would say Luka, Austin, and Walker Kessler are the three guys that are locked in. Quentin Grimes is likely the fourth guy. But then we get to the fifth starter spot, and that's TBD. I think we're looking at four candidates: Sandro Mamukelashvili, Matisse Thybulle, Jake LaRavia, and Zaire Williams. We'll start with you, Istok. How do you view the fifth starter spot within the context of those other four guys? Who do you think best checks that box?
Yeah, I mean, apart from the fact that we all agree that this fifth starter is probably missing and they're still trying to get, I think, on this roster, I think what you're trying to get, I would like to get a little bit more size, which is doesn't make any of the remaining options ideal. Because I think you have Austin, you have Grimes, you have two guards who are not small for guards, but they're not huge. So I think I would like to have a little bit more size, length, secondary rim protection on the court. And I think just looking at the roster, the options, I don't think, like you laid it out, there is an ideal solution. And I think unless they make a move, which everybody anticipates, I think JJ we'll just try to go by committee. Like last year when we went into the season trying to figure out who that starter is, I think they don't start Matisse because I think due to his history, injury history and load, I think they would rather use him in special, like almost a special team guy where you use it in special situations. So I think it comes down probably, I personally wouldn't start Mamu, because I think I would rather have him off the bench. I think maybe better like a backup for Walker, or in some cases backup for 4 or 5. This stagger some minutes there. So I think then it comes out between Jake and Zaire, I think. And they will see who looks better. I think they're a little bit both shaky offensively, outside shot. So I think JJ will try give some opportunities to both, and then we will see how the season plays out, and maybe they even make a move later on.
What about you, Trevor?
Yeah, I mean, none of the options are ideal, right? It, with each player, it will be, well, this guy is just kind of a placeholder until they can eventually, whether it's at the trade deadline, maybe next summer with the non-taxpayer, they could add that player that is locked in as that clear starter. But the money would say it should be Mamukelashvili, just based on how much he's getting paid. That said, I agree with this dog. I don't think he's the ideal starter, because I think I look at what is it that you really want out of that role? Since we've got a lot of different options, what is it that you're looking for from that player? Number one, the most important thing to me is that you've got somebody that can defend the other team's best wing player, because I don't want Luka to be stuck in that kind of a role, certainly, and other teams will try to switch on him and things like that. But I want somebody who can defend at that level and stay in front of their man to the best of their ability. And that's not really what Mamu is. I do think he's going to be an upgrade defensively over, say, Rui Hachimura. I'm excited about what he can be on this team, but I prefer him coming off the bench as well. And similarly, I think that kind of takes Matisse Thybulle out of the mix too. If we're talking about some of the bigger wings, he's best as a point of attack, sometimes a chaser role defensively, can be a guy that can really cause havoc on the perimeter, but I don't know that it gives you enough in terms of that true wing position. I look at him as more of a 1-3 defender, and I think what I'm looking for here is really a guy who's defending threes and fours. So that really brings us back to Jake LaRavia and Zaire, and both of them have questions about their shooting. Jake has a history of being a good shooter, but certainly was not that to close out last season, got a bit shaky there down the stretch. And Zaire Williams has been on an upward trajectory with his three-point shooting. But that's something that you need. After the ability to defend, you need somebody who can space the floor and give you something on the offensive end. So, I'm not going to be super excited, because any of these options are going to have their drawbacks, and they're really just kind of keeping the seat warm for the eventual solution to this problem. But I do think it probably comes down to Zaire Williams or Jake LaRavia, because I just don't see Matisse Thybulle, who I like a lot. I just don't see the role being right for him. And I also don't think Mamu has the correct skill set for the spot. So I know that's probably not going to excite many Lakers fans hearing Zaire Williams or Jake LaRavia, but that's probably what I'm looking at here as well as the most likely candidate for the job.
I wish we disagreed more, but we're all in agreement here. I mean, I'll go out and say that I think Jake is probably the one I would pencil in, which I know a lot of Laker fans are not going to want to hear. I think it really depends on his shot, because if you look at their careers, Jake at least flashed 2 years ago. He was a 44% catch and shoot guy, whereas Zaire's career high as a catch and shoot guy is 36%. So I think in terms of the actual shot, Jake has flashed a higher ceiling. Now he's coming off a career worst 32% overall and 32% on catch and shoot threes this past year. So if for whatever reason he can't recapture his shot, then like it's going to be tough to start him. But if Jake at least gets back to being somewhere in that 35 to 37% range where he had previously been before his career high, I think he gives you the best blend of 2-4 defense, some rebounding, connectivity offensively, ball mover, etc. But I think it's between those two guys. Mamu doesn't make any sense to me. It replicates some of the limitations of Luka and LeBron and Luka and Rui to me, of just both guys are best at the four, both guys are best as helpers. One of them has to be the wing stopper. One of them has to be more of that guy on the perimeter guarding the best wings. And like, it's just, that's neither one of them. And then I agree that Matisse, a little too small, a bit injury prone, a bit older. You want to probably limit his minutes, and then also not a good rebounder. So I just worry about the rebounding if you're starting Matisse.
I think here the good thing is, even if Jake starts, I think what's different from last season is that I think he won't have to play 30 or 28 minutes like he did last year. He was second in regular season in total minutes. I think he can start and play still high energy 20 minutes per game role, and then you bring situation-based, opponent-based, either Zaire or Mamu plays more, depends on the matchup. So I think here they have much more flexibility than they had last year.
this is a situation where JJ Redick, because so the downside of not having that locked in guy is quality wise, right? Well, you don't have that locked in quality play. The upside, though, is JJ Redick can really have a lot of flexibility to lean into the matchup base as well as the hot hand. Who is it that really has it going right now? And that gives him the flexibility to do that, where you're not going to offend Jake LaRavia of, hey, Zaire Williams has it going. He's 3-5 from three. I'm going to go ahead and close the game with him, or I'm going to give him the more lion's share of the minutes. That's not as big of a deal. Whereas if you do have that locked in starter, and then you're going to try to play the matchup game or something like that, and you're paying a guy a lot of money, that can be a little bit more challenging politically to try to make a move like that. Not the ideal situation to be in. That's very much just the silver lining. But JJ Redick does have the ability with this current group to ride the hot hand and go with the matchup-based decision.
There are two guys I did not mention that are theoretically in this conversation, Adu Thiro and Jared Vanderbilt. Realistically, though, Jared Vanderbilt is not in this conversation based on how JJ has used him over the past couple of years. But Adu, with what he flashed in summer league, I think is an interesting choice here. The shooting and the offensive game will ultimately probably keep him out of a starting role or a role to a certain degree. But theoretically, he does check the defense and rebounding box. He checks the motor, the athleticism. And if you squint, you can kind of see that Derrick Jones Jr. type, but even in a like more supercharged, better athlete, more physical, more power. So Trevor, in terms of Adu, is he potentially a guy that you think could get a crack here in training camp if he continues to progress? Or do you think that's premature and he first needs to establish himself as a rotation player before jumping into the starting group?
Yeah, it's a no for me on Adu. And I'm very high on Adu. I've talked a lot about how important his development is for the Lakers. I would slot him ahead of Jared Vanderbilt in any kind of rotation. So don't hear what I'm not saying there. But I don't want a guy that is going to be very mistake prone in that starting lineup. I want somebody that's going to go play relatively mistake-free basketball, that is going to make the right rotations 95% of the time. And that's just not Adu Thiro, nor is it what we should expect him to be right now. I also firmly believe in building upon success for young players and bringing them along. It's different if it's a lottery level talent, but that's not what Adu Thiro is. I want to build his confidence up and build upon successes at the NBA level, and to go from occasionally getting thrown a few minutes here and there when he's healthy one season to starting with Luka and Austin and Walker Kessler and this Lakers team that is expecting to win games, that is a huge leap. And I just don't know if that's really setting Adu Thiro up for success. If the trajectory continues, the improvement we saw in summer league, if that continues all the way through, maybe midseason, we revisit this conversation. But I certainly don't think it's a situation I want to put Adu Thiro in right out of the gate.
What do you think, Istok?
No, I agree. I think also knowing JJ and with Kessler in the lineup, I think they will emphasize shooting and spacing. So I think this is something that we see as a team, how this team was built. So I think with how his shot looked even in summer league, I think he looked very good or great in some areas, but I think he was still very hesitant shooting it. So I think just knowing JJ, and the point that Trevor made about mistakes, I think you need, next to Luka and Austin, you have that rim protection in Walker, but I think you also need somebody who covers a lot of ground and covers mistakes. That's why I would lean a guy like Zaire, who has the length, the mobility, and is a good gap defender. Jake as well, high motor. So I think I would go there. And then, like Trevor said, I think there should be time where the young guys, not only Adu, but also Carr, should get minutes. And I think that should be exciting, but probably seeing them off the bench or let's say in some other games where they get more opportunities.
The more I've thought about it, I am starting to talk myself into Zaire ahead of Jake potentially. I think there's some X factors on both sides, like which guy shoots the ball better with Zaire. What's his scalability into guarding fours? Because I think this player, like if I'm looking at my ideal checklist for this fifth starter, it's someone who can guard threes and fours. I think there's been this narrative out there that it has to be a four. I don't think that's the case. I think ideally you have Quentin Grimes as your point of attack guy. You have this guy as your wing stopper slash four stopper in like a double big look. And then you have Kessler as your last line of defense. Luka's the low man helper. Austin is guarding the secondary guys, more of that chaser role. That's the best way to deploy this fifth guy, in my opinion. So they have to be able to guard either forward spot, which I think there are some questions with Zaire. There's some questions with Matisse. I don't think Matisse can guard fours. I think Zaire has the frame to guard fours, but he has not done it consistently up to this point in his career. He's been more of a one through three defender. And then the player also has to be able to rebound at a certain level, which only Mamu checks. Even Jake defensively, in terms of the defensive glass, is more of like an average-ish rebounder, but he's a really good offensive rebounder. And then shooting 35 plus, if not 36 plus percent on catch and shoot threes. So like, none of these four guys check all four boxes. You could argue none of them even check three of the boxes. I guess Mamu is maybe with the shooting and the rebounding the closest, but then the defense is a non-starter for me. So yeah, it's, I guess Zaire, if Zaire shows he can lean more into like the motor side and the athleticism side of his game, be a better rebounder and scale up to guarding fours, he might be the guy. But it also could just be as simple as like Jake has a bounce back season. He shoots 38% on threes, and like that's the choice among these four.
I think when we look at Zaire, there's a couple of things to like. And number one is that he's very high in his steals rate. Now, that can sometimes be a bad thing when a guy's getting out of position chasing down steals. But I do look at the addition of Matisse Thybulle and Zaire Williams. I look at a Lakers team that was middle of the pack last season in opponents' turnovers. And I also look at an NBA as a whole where there's more emphasis being placed on perimeter defense and putting pressure on and forcing those turnovers. We've seen a lot of teams that are kind of following or mimicking the Thunder's defensive style in that regard. So I do think Zaire Williams does have a bit of an edge there in terms of forcing live ball turnovers over Jake Laravia. I also have seen a consistent shooting progression from Zaire Williams in terms of his three ball. So if that continues, that trajectory continues, that, you know, would be a positive in his column as well. Now, who knows when he puts on a Lakers jersey, whether his 3-point percentage is going to plummet or what's going to happen there. But Jake Laravia is the significant, I mean, right. That's a thing that we've seen happen for a while, but Jake Laravia is,
I mean, Jake last year, Jake was coming off a career year shooting. Yeah. That had a career worst year shooting.
I mean, it's the, I don't know if it's the lights at crypto.com arena. It's the, you know what it is? It's the wrong shade of gold. It's more of a yellow now. That's what you go back to the right color jersey. Yeah, that's it. It's blinding the shooters. That'll do it. But Jake is the better rebounder. So I think there's a little bit of an edge there too. I don't know. I mean, is it as simple as whichever guy shows out in training camp just gets the spot? Is that what JJ Redick needs to lean into?
Yeah, I think that should be a part. I think what I like about this team is a lot of younger guys who haven't played on a lot of winning situations. So we mentioned Zaire, he was like on bad teams for most of his career. Walker, Colin Sexton, even Quinton Grimes was a lot. He was on a good Philadelphia team, but in the middle it was tanking. And so I think that should be part, and I think JJ will, I think, fully lean into it, so to have like a really competitive team. And I think in situation like that, the best is to use that competitiveness to figure out which guy wants it the most, or which guy, let's say, excels under pressure the most, and the opportunity. And I think when we are talking about this is probably a stopgap move, is not something that will be there for sure. I think they have a lot of, they have the contracts of the other guys that combined with, if some of these guys plays well, they can use these guys playing well to then upgrade the position or the other starting spot.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Let's get into the rotation. So there are four starters penciled in, and I think we're all in agreement that that fifth spot is probably between Jake and Zaire. So if it's between those two, let's put them in the rotation as well. That gets the Lakers to six guys. I also think clearly Mamu, whether he's coming off the bench or starting, is going to be in the rotation, and then Colin Sexton as well. So that gets us to eight players. I think Matisse Thybulle is going to be in the rotation. He was a rotation player in Portland. So that brings us to nine. And realistically, I think JJ's going to go with a 10-man rotation, maybe 11. But I think you could argue there are 12 guys who probably expect minutes or some sort of role on this team. So that brings us to nine guys locked in. If we say, let's just go Zaire as the starter, then off the bench, it's Sexton, Mamu, Matisse, and Jake. For spots 10 and potentially 11, you have Cameron Carr, Adu Thiro, Jared Vanderbilt, and Kevon Looney. The way the Lakers have talked about Kevon Looney, it seems like he might be in the rotation, or at least this backup big search. We'll see if they end up finding a better alternative. But you also have Cameron Carr and Adu Thiro, who showed out in summer league. And you also have Jared Vanderbilt, who might just be the best player of those four as things stand right now, and fill some important minutes as a rebounder and defender. So looking at the final competition for the last spot or two in the rotation among those four, how do you guys see that shaken out? Let's start with you, Iztok.
First, I would like to see Cam Carr getting minutes in rotation spot. I think he is the biggest wild card on this team. And I think looking at the contracts, looking at the assets that they have, I think him eventually panning up as a starter or as a, let's say, very quality rotation player, that's the biggest, I think, gain they can get. But on the other hand, again, based on JJ's history, I think we can be sure that he will play Luka and Austin, which are basically guards. He will play them, I don't know, 35 plus minutes. And then you have two, I think, the guys that he will trust because of the shooting, because of the ball handling, because of the contracts, and these are Sexton and Grimes. So you have already four guards, and let's say that Grimes plays the free position, small forward spot, you don't have much minutes left for that position, even if you pencil in Carr for a couple of minutes. So, and Thybulle. So I think there is going to be a crunch on the guard spot, and hopefully, as I said, they find minutes for Cam Carr, but I think that's why I'm a little bit worried. Of course, now we are talking if there is no injury, and we saw last season how quickly that can change, and then all this depth can come really handy. So to me, that is the biggest thing I would look at it. And then at the front court spot, I think there is where they have more issues. I think there's where they need size, because we don't know what can they get after Kevon Looney. Maybe they use Wendo and Mamu as an agile 4-5 and play zone with a lot of more zone like they did last year, if you remember. So for that period stretch where they played bigger in zone, so I think Thybulle could be coming very handy, Zaire, all this length. So I think they will... I think the contracts and the situation on the bench, I think the point that you made, that you guys made before, there should be no egos, nobody expecting huge minutes, I think will they give JJ a lot of room to experiment with different limelights, not only offensively, but also defensively. And I think they will probably have to fully lean into, because apart from the top four or five guys, they don't have obvious players who should get, I don't know, even 18, 20 minutes a night.
I think when we look at who gets that, if it's a 10th spot, an 11th spot, for me, I want to see a guy who is going to really raise the ceiling of the team, or at least has the potential to do that. Now, typically, I'd just be saying, hey, you want somebody who's going to go down, get in there and not make mistakes. But I do think that the Lakers are in a position where they really need to develop their young players. You know, when J.J. Redick was first hired on a couple years ago, what word did we hear over and over and over again? It was program, right? It's going to be a program that J.J. Redick is going to be developing, that there is going to be this funnel of young talent coming in. And I think that's incredibly important in today's NBA, based on the rules that are laid out in the collective bargaining agreement, the way teams need to build out their rosters. So I'm going to put more importance on Adu Thiro and Cameron Carr getting minutes, even if Jared Vanderbilt is the better player right now. I would slot both those guys ahead of him. Now, positionally, it does get a little bit awkward because I think there are a few too many guards on this roster. I do think that while the DeAndre Ayton trade, I think, was fine value-wise, and I'm curious to see what the Lakers ultimately do with that second-round draft capital. I'm not saying they shouldn't have done the move, but if DeAndre Ayton was on this roster right now instead of Jaden Hardy, I think everything slots a little bit better in terms of having that backup big, one less guard that's in the mix there that's just kind of sitting on the end of the bench that you can't really get into the mix at this moment. But I'm going to prioritize Cameron Carr. I'm going to prioritize Adu Thiro if we go to an 11th man over some of these other guys that may be more ready to play right now, because I just think that's the most important thing for the Lakers' long-term future. I think that when we're talking about who is this fifth starter, the potential is there that the long-term answer is simply Cameron Carr, that the short-term answer is Jake Laravia or Zaire Williams or someone like that. Maybe it's a Jonathan Kuminga, maybe it's a PJ Washington, or whatever, but the long-term answer may ultimately become Cameron Carr. So I do think they need to put more emphasis on developing players. You can argue that with Adu Thiro's injuries last season, they didn't have ample opportunity to do so, nor players that had enough upside to do so. I think that's not the case now with Carr and Thiro. Hopefully, fingers crossed, they stay healthy going into the season, but I'm going to try to funnel minutes that way. I would prioritize Carr first of all over Adu, and then go to Adu Thiro ahead of any of the other guys that we're talking about. It does get a bit tricky fit-wise for J.J. Redick, especially if it's Kevon Looney that's not really in the rotation. Then it's, are you playing small behind Walker Kessler? Is it Mamu at the five? How are you working that out? So that could get a bit complicated, but I think there needs to be a very deliberate and concerted effort to get opportunities, maybe a two-shift opportunity for Cameron Carr, and then see what you can get for Adu Thiro as well.
Yeah, I think, just to add here, I agree here, it's not only the yacht and the potential, but I think it's also athleticism. I think they don't have this in that shape in starting five, but we saw with Derek Jones Jr., even with PJ Washington, I think having Luka, a lot of threats for Luka, even at the other position, and this is what made Jackson Hayes so, why they played him basically as a backup five all these years, I think, these two seasons, I think is, I think this is another argument that goes both for these two young guys.
I couldn't agree more with that specific argument. Like, those are the two best athletes in the Lakers rotation right now, or projected rotation in terms of Adu and Cameron Carr. I mean, they're probably the two best athletes on the roster, just period. I'll go a step further and say, like, I wonder if there's this open competition with Zaire and Jake, and to a lesser degree, Matisse, because I guess if you view Luka more as a four defensively, you could make an argument for Matisse out there as well. But I just worry about the rebounding and the overall size with that group. But let's just say there's a two or three man competition for that starting spot. I wonder if the two guys who lose that competition, they're the ones that kind of get squeezed here in the rotation. And it ends up being like Sexton's locked in, Mamu's locked in. Maybe one of those two guys gets a role, and then the other two spots go to Adu and Cameron Carr, because I want to talk through this minutes exercise here in a second. Like, the minutes go pretty quickly, and to Istok's point, like, maybe none of these guys are expecting a certain amount of minutes, but I'm trying to be conservative here with like Mamu and Sexton's minutes, and even then you're barely getting to two other guys at like a normal rotation level in terms of being, you know, 15 plus minutes, which typically you're going to have like nine guys in that 14, 15 plus minute range. So I do wonder if whoever loses out that competition, despite them actually being in consideration for a starting spot, actually ends up getting squeezed a bit with the bench group.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a real challenge for them, is figuring out who those players are going to be. I do want to caution with all this though too. It's August, right? And we all know this, that this,
we got to talk about something year, here.
Well, no. I mean that in regards to this time of year, we look at every player and we think every player is going to earn their role, and every player is going to hit. There's going to be players that are going to eliminate themselves. So as much as we may look at it right now and go, man, there's a little bit of a crunch there trying to figure out minutes for all these guys, there's going to be players who don't come out of the gates playing at the level that we think they are going to, because right now, again, we're not actually seeing them on the floor. And there will be a few guys that will remove themselves from this conversation. It'll become a lot more apparent once they actually get out there. Right now, I hope J.J. Redick has the problem of man, I've got a guy that could start. And if he doesn't start, I got to get minutes for these young guys. And so I'm going to have to take a guy who could potentially start and bump him all the way out of the rotation. I hope he's got that problem. But I think the more likely situation is we're going to see some guys who, whether it be via injury or play, are removed from this conversation. And that opens things up a little bit in terms of what how players are actually slotted.
I just think with the talent on the roster too, very concentrated on at least the bench talent concentrated on the wings and the forward spots. I think the move is probably Mamu as the backup five and backup four, but the backup 5 minutes to me go to Mamu and then Adu or Vando. I don't think Kevon Looney factors in here. Maybe there's a certain matchup where Kessler gets in foul trouble or Mamu gets in foul trouble. You need to go to Looney or one of those guys gets injured. Then Looney factors in, but I don't see Looney factoring in as an every night rotation guy. To me, with just how much, like if we're ranking players on the roster, to me, he nets out at probably 13th or 14th on the overall roster right now. So it's like, I just, at that point, I'm prioritizing other guys and I don't want to play the 14th best player on the roster ahead of like the 11th best player because he fits a position. I think you play Walker Kessler 30, 32 minutes, the other 16, 18 minutes, you know, 10 to 12 of that goes to Mamu. Then you play small 6-8 minutes. And maybe those groups you go zone or you go switching 1 through 5. And that's a more athletic dynamic type group. But what do you guys think about Kevon Looney specifically? Because I am probably lower than most on Kevon Looney and watching the film on him and talking to people about him. And I just don't think he is a rotation guy anymore.
Yeah, but to your point, I think, Trevor, I think he is the prototypical low mistake guy. So I think he's the guy, if you pair him with the young guys, if you pair him with some more mobile athletes, I think they'll try to survive some minutes with him and use him against bigger players. I don't know, like get a couple of fouls against Jokic when you defend him, I think. So I think, I hope he has something more left. And I think just out of trying to use him as a mentor, as a screener, but the rotation is not ideal. I think also Mamu, if you play him at the five, which Raptors did for most of his time, I think you can survive the bench minutes against most of the NBA, but there are matchups where you need size, when you need toughness, when you need some bulk, and this is where they will probably use him.
Him being situational, I think makes some sense, but I don't think it's him as like the full-time backup five.
Yeah, agreed. I'm right there with you. I might be a little bit higher on him than you are, simply as a screener, as a rebounder, as an offensive glass guy. But I'm not a guy that I want to see every single, more of like, you know, a couple times a week he gets out there and it's situational and that's what we see. Which again brings us to a point where, yeah, you can go Mamu as your backup five, and I think that's what we're going to see quite a bit of. But probably could use one more big on this roster. And that's, you know, maybe the secondary quest for Rob Pelinka here behind finding a wing is finding another big that can be there in the rotation for some of those, you know, super size. You know, when you're playing up against Houston, is that going to, if Steven Adams is healthy, is that going to work out real well? If it's Mamu and a bunch of wings out there on the floor, well, you're going to have some challenges there, certainly. So I think there is the ultimate answer to this question is finding another guy who's going to be at least capable of dealing with some of those bigger lineups in the NBA.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I want to talk about the actual minutes distribution right now, because I think this is the toughest part of this entire conversation is finding the minutes for these guys. So I want to read you guys my minutes breakdown and tell me if anything stands out negatively or positively in terms of just how you view it. So I have the starters right now as Kessler, Zaire, Quentin Grimes, Austin Reeves, and Luka. That's the offensive starters. Obviously, if we're going defensive, it's Zaire, Luka at the four, the other one at the three, and then Grimes and Reeves in the backcourt. I have Kessler at 32 minutes, which would be a career high for him, but I think they're really going to need him defensively. Zaire at 20 as a placeholder starter. Quentin Grimes at 26, which I think might be low, but trying to fit in everybody here. Austin at 34, Luka at 35. So that's the starters. Then bench, Mamu at 24, as the backup four and five, Sexton at 20, Jake LaRavia at 15, Matisse at 14, and then Cameron Carr at 11, Adu at 8, filling out the rotation. So we're going 11 guys here, no Vando, no Looney, and three of the six bench guys are 14 minutes or less. Does anything stand out that you strongly disagree with what I just laid out?
Yeah, I think you're forgetting how much JJ likes to play guys big minutes and likes to play shooters. So I think Sexton is playing at least 28 minutes, and Grimes as well.
Okay.
That's my point. I think he really leaning heavily on the guys that he trusts offensively. I think Luka, I would like to see Luka and Austin play 35 and 40, 34, but I will believe it when I see it. So I think it's more like 36 around for both. And then, like I said, when you add all this, especially in the front court, you get even less minutes for the guys, which I think this is ideal scenario. And like we said, it's August, nobody's injured, everybody's hyped up, nobody's out of the rotation. Because as soon as some injury happens, I think then you will find minutes for guys like Ken Carr or for Tybal or for Zaire. But I think we will see, at least my impression watching JJ, this his first 2 years of coaching, is that he has like a core four or five guys who he plays almost 30 minutes. If you remember Marcus Smart last year, I think he ended up at 28, if I'm not mistaken, but at the end of the season, he was playing 30 plus minutes all the time. So I think he will play the guys that he trusts, and then the rest, it will be based on the matchups, based on how somebody played last 10 games, based on these various factors. That's at least my view.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we look at what the Lakers went into this offseason to do, and we talked about this yesterday on Lakers Collective, but the idea that they were building this team for Luka is accurate, but it's also about building for JJ Redick, right? And JJ was the guy that was saying, I want guys who can dribble, pass, shoot. And so with that element of Quentin Grimes' game, I could see his minutes actually going up. And I think Iztok makes a great point about what it is that JJ leans into, because for me, my initial gut reaction was, oh my God, Matisse Thybulle needs to play more. You know, because he is, when I look at the elite skill sets on the roster, he is an elite defensive player that I think if the three ball is a thing, which over the last couple of seasons it has been, it's been a small sample size due to games played, but if that's a thing, I think he can be a highly impactful player. But if we're trying to predict what JJ Redick's going to do, that's different than maybe what I would do. So I could see JJ leaning more into Colin Sexton, but Jovan, this is something that has been tripping me up, and maybe you can give me your thoughts on this, shed some light on this. How much can you play like Colin Sexton and Austin Reeves together? Colin Sexton and Luka, like, can you have Sexton, Reeves, and Luka on the floor together? How does JJ manage that? Because there is this three-guard rotation, but all three of them have some defensive deficiencies, and I even hesitate to call Luka a guard, but Sexton paired with those guys, we're going to see it. But I've got concerns about what that looks like on the defensive side of the ball. And I think JJ's going to have to be real careful with the other players on the floor if you're trying to put even two of those three together.
You just saw it last year with Luke Kennard. So it was the same thing. And he played 40 right. plus minutes. You know. So I think I think the next profile I'm doing is Colin Sexton. And he's like one thing that I think it's underrated about him. He's like a very good shooter. He's like 40% almost yep. for his career and very consistent. And he's 42, I think, catch and shoot shooter. So as long as you shoot, I think JJ will play. We saw it with Gabe. We saw he doesn't. I think Colin is much better player than Gabe, obviously, also is offensively. And he is like very active defender, but not a good defender. So I think we will see, I think, like you said, leaning into this dribble pass shoot. That's why I think Mamu will play, which I think is good. But I think, as we saw with Rui, as we saw it with, I think JJ tends to load on minutes for the guys he trusts. I think now he has the roster. If we are being fair, compared to last year, and at the beginning of the season, it was Gabe first, even starting the first game, if I remember correctly. And then he was like a key sub, Jake playing all these kind of minutes. And then we were already down, like you said, to Maxi, to Wendo. Now I think he will have like much more talent. So hopefully they distribute the minutes. But I think we will see these guys that are much more well-rounded offensively play higher minutes and the other guys get the rest. That's my opinion.
So I'm with both of you. I think where I had some of the minutes lower is just I think this is the deepest team that JJ has had. Like JJ showed 2 years ago, he didn't even feel like he had six playable guys in a high stakes moment. Obviously, regular season and playoffs are different. But this past season, it was a little deeper. He went into like guys 7 and 8 that he trusted. This year, though, I think you can argue there are legitimately 11 or 12 rotation guys on this team. Now, I think the limitation with this roster build is that of those 11 or 12 rotation guys, I think only three are clear-cut starters. Grimes, to me, is more of a fringe starter, but he has the upside to lock himself in and establish himself as a clear-cut starter. But we're still talking about maybe at best four guys who are clear starters on this group, and you're comparing it to some of the other top rosters around the league where they have six guys that are starters, seven guys, eight guys. So that, I think, is the limitation right now with this roster. But a lot of these guys are really solid players who should be playing. So to your point, like the going through this exercise originally, I had Grimes at 28 minutes instead of 26. I did shave down a couple just to fit some more minutes for Adu and Carr. But realistically, it might just be he's playing 30, even 32 minutes. Sexton's playing, I had him at 20, maybe he's at 24. Last year, he was between his two stops, he was at 23 and then 27. It gets tricky. And again, this is where like Matisse or Jake, if they lose out on the starting competition, maybe they just get squeezed. And it's like those minutes go to Grimes, Sexton, Adu, and Carr. And then that other guy is just out of the rotation. It's a 10-man rotation. And maybe that makes a bit more sense.
I also think something that we're going to have to look at as we actually build out some of these rotations, it's does JJ try to balance? Because when I'm trying to put together a rotation, I'm thinking, okay, if I've got three guys on the floor that are not great defensively, I need to make sure my other two are. Does JJ just say to hell with it, given the offensive talent on this team, and say, we're going to go try to blow the doors off of teams and we're going to go score and score and score? Because I do think there's more personnel that leans into a high scoring offensive style than certainly locking down defensively. And my natural default is to lean into the defensive side of the ball. But I do wonder if JJ might just say, you know what? I don't care if I've got four guys on the floor that aren't great defensively. We're going to go outscore you and we're going to put up a ton of points and just go that route. That will be really interesting to see as these rotations actually come together. And as we're building these out too, because my natural inclination may be very different than what JJ is going to lean into.
I mean, that, I guess, is a case for Mamu to start. If you're just going pure talent and offense, I think the case for Mamu is you go double big, which allows you to either match up with the other double big lineups or potentially forces teams to try to adjust to you and your double big look. Then there's the shooting, skill, talent component of what he brings offensively. And then there's also just the rebounding and adding just some size to that group that now you look at. Well, I think there's some limitations defensively with the Luka, Mamu, Kessler front court defensively in terms of foot speed, athleticism, matching up with better offenses. There's a rebounding component there where Luka, Mamu, and Kessler, that's a dominant front court in terms of defensive rebounding. So that does give you a strength that allows you to get out and transition as long as you're protecting the paint, cleaning the glass. So I guess that is partly the case for Mamu, and maybe we're overthinking this, and it's just, hey, Mamu's the best of the guys. He's paid the most of the guys by over double the amount. Like Jake is making $6 million. Zaire and Matisse are both minimum guys. Like sometimes money talks, and maybe Mamu's just the guy. I think it then puts Looney in a certain position in the rotation. And I think at some point you're just playing worse players. So that would be my, in addition to like obviously the defense.
I think one thing defensively that I look forward to, and probably they will do this like more tactically, not a case to start Mamu, but I see Mamu being able to defend like smaller big men like Ben or guys like that. And then allows you, if you play him with Walker, allows you to use Walker like a roamer defensively. You put him on a non-shooting wing or something and you use him like differently, a little bit defensively. So I think it's another tactical wrinkle that I would like to see, and they could do. And sometimes they even do that with Luka, I think, and Luka and Walker. I think Luka, in some matchups, he can hold his own against the bigger guys. So I think, and back to Trevor's point, I think, yeah, they will lean offense and shooting, like I said, with the top four or five guys. But I think the roster, if you go down, it's built in a way that you cannot almost not go all offense, because then you have a lot of other guys like that are should be defensive specialists. So Matisse, Zaire. So I think there will always be some sort of a balance, because there is what you have in your, let's say, bench guys. And that's what I think we will see if guys like we said, Cam Carr or Adu, I think especially Cam, if he can develop quicker defensively. What I saw in summer league, I was not impressed. I think he's like a rookie and he has the tools, but he's like very mistake prone. So we will see if his progress is faster. Then you get like a two-way player potentially, or a guy who can at least help hold his own defensively, but also can be a great shooter and can be a creator. So that's when you get into the two-way conversation that I think, again, this roster lacks a little bit.
Final thing before we wrap up here. Let's say the Lakers execute their ultimate vision for this offseason. They land the Jonathan Kuminga or PJ Washington to start. They find a backup big man upgrade over Kevon Looney. And then they swap out some of the back end guys, Dalton, Jaden Hardy. How do you guys view the rotation at that point? Because now it's like, okay, Kessler, Kuminga, Washington, Grimes, Austin, Luka, and then you have Sexton, Mamu, backup five. That's eight of your top 10 guys. Who fills out the last couple spots? Like, is it Cameron Carr still? Is it, we're talking about Zaire or Jake starting? Are those guys now going from potentially starting to just out of the rotation? How does Matisse factor into all this? Where's Adu in all this as well? So I think it gets interesting if they do end up adding at least one, if not two more rotation guys, this gets even trickier to suss out.
It absolutely does. It gets even more difficult, and I hope it does. It's a problem. It's a great problem to have, though, and I hope JJ Redick does have this problem to start the season. And this is where, not to make it a cop-out or whatever, but this is where, how do each of these guys play in training camp? You give these guys different looks. You tinker with some of the lineups in preseason, and then you see who's really got it. Because all of these guys that you mentioned, they all have their arguments for being in the mix there, whether it's Adu Thiro, whether it's Cameron Carr, whether it's Matisse Thybulle, whoever it is, they all would have their arguments for being in the mix there. It would be what does the chemistry actually look like on the floor? I think it's a little different too when we're slotting in some of these guys for like the last couple of spots versus, hey, which guy can we kind of sort of live with their flaws and make this guy into a starter? So I hope, though, that this is the situation that we're in to start the season, that JJ Redick has got to figure out that problem, because it's a great one.
Yeah, it's also, that's why you have Matisse Thybulle and Zaire Williams basically on minimums. So basically that's typically the minimum guys are the guys that should not be the core part of your rotation, but could come handy. The same with Kevon Looney. So I think, especially if they get a proper four, for example, a guy like we said, PJ Washington, who I think also adds some size that fixes your backup situation with Mamu. He can play the backup five and you have more size in the rotation. And I think just scales everybody down appropriately. Yeah, some guys will get out of the rotation. We hope it's not the young guys. But I think it's just a talent upgrade. And because of all the guys that we talked now, I think there's also, as much as the upside for some is enticing, there's also clear downside. So I think that just eliminates that.
I think it would be the top eight that we discuss, the new starters plus Mamu, Sexton, backup five. And then I'll go Zaire and Cameron Carr to round out the 10-man rotation, with Jake or Matisse maybe being that occasional 11th guy. But and then, yeah, Adu, I guess, gets squeezed a bit because they're adding another big forward, which I think would come at his expense most likely. But it would be a good problem to have if the Lakers have this problem going into trading camp. Right now, it's
the core short from Vuori is one pair I keep reaching for. Morning run, afternoon training, watching the game, it doesn't matter. Soft four-way stretch, built-in liner, comfortable all day. Plus, they look good enough to wear well beyond the gym. Ready to try a pair? Head to Vuori.com/pod20 to get 20% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say, "We're really doing this." But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
I like the depth of this team. That's one thing that really stands out with this exercise is last year at times we were struggling to get to 9 guys or 10 guys that you felt comfortable playing. I think there's going to be 11 to 12 guys who have a real chance. And that's before, like, Bronny was obviously a rotation guy at the end of last year and played in the playoffs. Jaden Hardy has been someone who could score the basketball that in a pinch, if Colin Sexton gets injured or whatever, like, he could fill in, I guess. So I mean, this is a deep team.
He's the Nick Smith Jr. of
He's the Nick Smith Jr. But I think he's better than Nick Smith Jr. Right? Or probably similar.
I watch him a lot in Dallas. He's the garbage time hero. He will put like, when it's the garbage time, he'll put like 15 points in the
team. Yeah, the Lakers have another one of those guys in Dalton Connect.
Yes. So, no, but I think if you talk about, like, let's say last year roster, we saw some of the glimpses and ideas. For example, like Drew Timmy, I think Mamu is, I think, much, much better version of that. Like a mobile guy who can shoot, play small, or you play big and you play zone. We saw like glimpses of Nick Smith Jr., who is like an explosive guy off the bench, explosive scorer. Sexton is much better at that. So I think if you have much more deeper roster, you put these guys in a little bit smaller roles, but you have much more talent. So I think that that would be great. And I think we would feel much better about that.
By the way, let me just throw a wrench in all of this right now. What if Arthur Kaluma is the answer? What if the shooting is real?
Then there's another option there that they could potentially, maybe it is Arthur Kaluma on a two-way contract. He continues to go. What did he shoot? Shot like 50% from three in summer
not
league.
That, if that's what, but like what he turns high into, 30s, 40-ish percent.
High 30s? That's not out of the question. That's not out of the question. Maybe, you know what? That's what training camp is for. Maybe that is where we're at. I think the interesting thing is right now they've got, 16 guaranteed contracts on the books. They don't change something before. Like, who's the odd man out? Who gets cut? In order to make, now obviously they got a long way to go. It's not a problem for today necessarily, but who do they move on from?
And at that point, it doesn't really matter from a financial perspective unless you're waiving someone who's got additional years. So I guess it's a competition between Bronny, Jaden Hardy, and Dalton Connect. I think I'd probably lean Dalton.
Me too.
What about you?
That was where I went on my last show. People were asking that, and I said, yeah, I would probably cut Dalton Connect. Ouch. 17th pick.
And if you go back again, last year, at least early in the season, he was part of the rotation. So I think the upgrade of the depth is real. Mm-hmm. And
like, yeah, of those three, I think he's the guy who has the hardest pathway to minutes. I guess if Sexton gets injured, there's a clear pathway for Bronny or Hardy to replace Sexton as a placeholder for the time being. If any of the other wings gets injured, it's just play one of the other wings more minutes, and it's not put Dalton in the rotation. So he's the one that's the most expendable.
It's Carr. Basically, you have to play. If you would want to play Carr Connect, you just give all the minutes to Carr. He's like same archetype, but much more athletic, much better version. So I think it doesn't make sense.
Well, appreciate you guys for your time. This was fun. I think I'm leaving this exercise more confused than when I entered it. But look, I think the Lakers, we'll see how things play out. We're obviously having this conversation before they potentially make any additions. And as we noted at the end, they do have to make at least one decision with the back end of the roster. So we'll see how things play out here over the coming days and weeks. But Iztok, I appreciate you staying up late. I know it's now 10 o'clock over there in, you're out in Croatia enjoying some vacation time.
So hopefully my internet survived. So mobile data came to the rescue, but yeah.
Appreciate you. And Trevor, appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Thank you. And I know you are a fan favorite, so people are going to love hearing your thoughts on all this. And Trevor, you are everywhere, and I'm sure you have a live stream to get to after this, but I appreciate you making time with your busy schedule.
No problem. And looking forward to seeing you tomorrow on
I'll Lakers see you Collective. In less than 24 hours.
That's right.
Let's appreciate go. You guys for watching and listening. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?